This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Learning about them in a way where you're able to understand it, because I know sometimes when you're reading the books, it can be kind of confusing, and just be able to have a bunch of people come together and talk about it. I think it's an amazing experience. And this book club is going to be amazing because you're going to be able to understand emotions. You're going to be able to grasp the importance of recognizing and managing your own emotions and children and even adults. Which is silly. A lot of people sometimes think like, man, I've even had my bosses a couple times, you know, I wish there was conscious discipline for adults. And I'm like, hey, newsflash, it is for adults.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your leadership, parenting, or teaching journey. And this would be the part where I typically just have the person introduce themselves, but we are going to switch it up today. I feel like I've been doing a lot of that lately. This is going to be a little bit of a different kind of podcast episode. As a lot of you No, I've been encouraging people to get the Conscious Discipline Building Resilient Classrooms book. And now I just want to break it down for y'all because it is a lot of information. And, you know, I'm starting a book club and I want people out there, especially the podcast listeners, you guys are already in it. You are have heard some of the information, but maybe you want to dive deeper into it. Maybe you have the book. I really want to invite you to come and create community with us because learning in community is one of the most powerful ways to learn. It's you can do a lot by yourself. There's a lot of inner work that you can do, but to learn with a community is takes the learning and the power to the next level. So that is something that I want to create around the Conscious Discipline Framework. It's a life-changing book that has been helpful for so many people and life-changing for so many people. But the Conscious Discipline Building Resilient Classrooms book has been geared, a lot of the situations are geared more towards the classroom. And I happen to be close with a lot of people in the company, and they're wanting to put more content and information that is geared specifically towards parents out there. They're in the process of doing that. But it is a process. And so I want to help that process along, especially my community that I've told to buy the book. And a lot of, surprise, surprise, a lot of the educators who this was originally targeted towards, their parents too. And so I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of those parents. And it's really interesting to hear, especially the ones who've been doing it for, you know, over a decade, to hear how they talk about their kids and the reflection that their kids have. And it's interesting to hear those parents who've kind of gone through it and have used this for a long period of time, if they've come out on the other side of it. But it's also interesting to hear the parents and educators who are still in the thick of it. And I love talking to those people. I'm still working in the classroom too, still practicing my skills as well. And I have someone who's kind of the latter, a parent and educator and a leader who's in the thick of it. And not only is she a conscious discipline practitioner who's in the thick of it, she's also a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, and also a leader of mine. This is my boss. This is the person who I work for. She got the opportunity to interview me. And so, now I guess I get to kind of interview her. It's come full circle now. And now, without further ado, I will let her introduce herself. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's so funny how the tables have turned. About myself, my name is Arlene. I've been an early educator for about 13 years. I am a mother to two beautiful children, a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old. I've known about conscious discipline for about 10 years, but I didn't start implementing conscious discipline till about 5 years. And I always tell people that story because with this program, it's an adult first program, and you have to be willing and open-minded to want to learn. Well, when I found out about this program years ago, I knew about the program, but I wasn't willing, and that's okay. And I think it's important to share that story and that journey that I've had with that as I've navigated my journey with conscious discipline as a parent, not only as a parent, but as a leader in taking these roles. So.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. And completely aligned with everyone. You guys know I always talk about the learning process and just being, avoid being a perfectionist, be an improvement. The goal isn't to be perfect every day. The goal is to improve a little every day. But I want to learn a little bit more about your journey because you teased us a little bit there with it. I
Little
want to
teaser.
hear more about your journey and kind of how you started. How did you hear about the conscious discipline? What was it your initial like? Did you talk about it? Like, did you say like this is never gonna work? Like, I'm gonna keep on. I remember you telling me something. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was one of those like thing, one of those stories that sometimes we share as educators as of just like, oh, like I can't believe I did this when I started. Do you have any stories like that, or just like tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, so I do have a couple. So I'm like I said again, my daughter's 12 and my son is 6. So I was a young mother, and going into early education, I figured let me work in childcare so I could be near my daughter, but also learn some things to work with my daughter at home. So my first job in childcare was actually in Japan. My husband's in the military, and it was the Child Development Center. And with that program, we would do some trainings, and there were some videos about conscious discipline, and they would show us little tidbits. I was talking about like old school Becky Bailey with those DVDs, going in and talking about the brain. I'm like, what is this? Okay. The different state of mind. So it was like little brief little gibbets about conscious discipline. And some classrooms did implement conscious discipline, and we did get some trainings of it. And one of the stories that I recall that I did talk to you about was I remember one of them, they were going about assertiveness. And I remember assertiveness. Why are we learning about assertiveness? I know what assertiveness is. In my head, assertiveness was Batman. You think of this strong action figure that like saves the world. So I was like, I know how to be assertive in the classroom. All I have to do is be Batman. So when I first started working in childcare, I was in a one-year-old classroom, and I remember, after having that training, oh, I gotta use my assertive voice. So I would change my voice to Batman. Hey, kid. And I remember, these kids were looking at me like, what is this lady doing? Is she crazy? And, over due time, I realized this whole time, what I thought was assertiveness wasn't, because I wasn't willing and open to learn. And as I did navigate and learn the different skills and powers, I realized, when it comes to being assertive, you don't have to be the strong action figure or, the scary person. You just need to be yourself, and you need to be confident when you're, speaking, and that's all you need to be. But I have a lot of stories, especially in childcare when I first started, taking in the ear out the other, and I wasn't ready. And it just goes to show from the way that I was navigating the skills in the wrong way because I didn't want to learn. So I tell people, with this program, it's so important that you have to be willing. And if it's not this time, that's okay. And that's why I feel like sharing my story is so important, That I say, you know, I've known about this program for so long. I've heard things because some people you ask them, hey, do you know about consciousness? And yeah, you know, I know about consciousness, but okay, you know about the program, but are you implementing it? You know, like there's two differences when it comes to that. And that was kind of what happened to me and where it started. And it took a lot of time where I had to truly dive into myself and realize there has to be another way that I could be a better parent and a better teacher. And that took me, you know, a couple years after learning, you know, this is time and that's okay.
Yeah, you know, even like just the skill of assertiveness, there's so much in there, and it's like I think it's hard when you're first learning, like you can only get but so much information kind of like in your brain and understand and a process and a practice and a utilize, and like even just the topic of assertiveness is so part. So yeah, it's the tone, like you're kind of talking about, and even just kind of getting like, what does that tone sound like? Because I haven't you know, I've only known what aggression sounds like. I only know what passivity sounds like. So, like, what does assertiveness actually, what does someone who's assertive and confident in what they're saying, like, what does that actually sound like without crossing the line to aggression or without like teetering the line of passivity? And so, like, and then on top of that, not just the tone, you're talking about body language, you're talking about the words you're using and describing and being specific and painting the picture. And all these are really legitimate skills that we can't just like just hear about in a 1 hour training and then be perfect at it, right? It takes practice, it takes conversation, it takes community, to kind of like hear each other and be like, girl, like why do the
I know what you do
Batman
with that Batman voice, and I
voice?
laugh about it too, because you know I tell people in my CD I'm a Hispanic culture, and I'm sure other people had this experience, you know, living in a strict household. They valued success and they showed love when a performance was well and great. And unfortunately, I wasn't that child that was up to par for that. I was barely meeting these standards, so it's always. I was a failure and being thrown into things and like just being yelled at and stuff. So in my perspective and just, you know, how I grew up and implementing assertiveness in Batman, I kind of correlated that together because I felt I had to be the strong person to get my point across because of how I was raised in my CD.
In your CD. So like a lot of people don't know what that, so to break that down for you, so you guys are like, oh, CD, she means like conscious discipline. So no, so actually she's referring to her CD, which are like her mental models, the messages that she kind of received growing up, right? We always talk about this, of just how we've received these messages and these mental models, and that kind of becomes like the way that we see the world and our like perspective, and kind of just these are automatic stories that come, we tell ourselves in situations. And these are really often fault, these are false messages, right? You're not worthy, you're not good enough, unless you're perfect, you know, you're not allowed to make mistakes. These are kind of these negative mental models that we often have. Your CD-ROM, or if you want to update it, we talk about like your playlist, right? Because who uses CD players anymore? She was just talking about these old DVDs that she had of Becky Bailey. You don't really use CDs anymore. So another way we talk about it is in their playlist. And these are just kind of these running scripts, these songs that play over and over and over again in our head. And you know what's can be difficult and what is a powerful practice to do. Often we can't erase these songs off of our CD-ROM, off of our playlist. Or at least it's very, it's not hard, it's not easy to do. These songs that were burned into our nervous system from the time they were young stick with us. But what we can do is kind of overpower those messages with other songs, right? We can create new messages and new songs. And when we start to hear those old songs play on those CD-ROMs that are familiar to us, that are just those old messages, we can just hit pause on that and push play on one of the positive messages that we've chosen, as opposed to one of the unconscious or subconscious scripts that we didn't, that were just given to us. We didn't even choose those. So I guess my next question is kind of, what has, this might be a little deep, but like, what are some of those like messages that you received, and how are you trying to kind of change that for your raising your children? Is that something you've thought about? You know, talk to us.
Yes. I always go back to my daughter and my son, because they were both, you know, raised differently. My daughter, I tell them, you know, I raised her the best that I knew, you know, from the toolkit or what was in my fanny pack, you know, that I had to set out there. And unfortunately with that, there was a lot of yelling and just not giving her options to express herself and her emotions. And it is kind of deep. I'm seeing that in my daughter with that, because now I tell people I have a child who's a conscious discipline child, who's my son, and my daughter, who I always like to compare, kind of like an onion that I'm slowly unraveling, undoing the damage and the hurt that I've done. And I tell families, you know, once they learn about conscious discipline, like, man, I shouldn't have spanked or yell, you know, I'm a horrible parent. You are not a bad parent. What you did was the best that you could have done. This is the best thing that you knew, and that's okay. You did was right at the time, but now you know there's another way. And you know, what can I do to make this better moving forward, to build this close relationships and to raise children that have strong emotions, that they're able to navigate, you know, the world around them. And that's kind of how I'm processing this. And what conscious discipline, what I love about it is our oops, you know, oops, you made a mistake, but we're so beautiful. Everyone is on their own journey. And that's what I love about it. Everything's not always rainbows and butterflies. You could follow conscious discipline and you might be following everything that's in your toolkit or as you're going through this journey, but it might not be all right, but it's okay. And it's just to be being understanding and knowing and recognizing and stopping from there. So for me, I feel the biggest thing with my daughter is my triggers. When it comes with my triggers, I noticed with her, she seems to really press my buttons the most. So for me, it was a lot for me to work on diving with conscious discipline with her. I struggled the most with her because sometimes I felt like it was a reflection of myself, of how I would be reactive to my parents. And it kind of made me sick in my chest because, you know, seeing how my parents raised me and kind of just shut me out and didn't give me a voice, I never wanted that for my children. And I became that parent. And it, you know, it just, it made me feel uneasy. And as I navigate this with my daughter, I keep telling myself, you know, it is a whole process. It's a journey. Rome wasn't built in a day. And so is this journey. And I like to share the story. So my husband, he does conscious discipline, but he doesn't fully implement it like and know as much as I do, but he's trying, giving him brownie points there. Mm-hmm. But there was a time where I had just came back for a conscious discipline institute, and my husband was telling me how they were so excited to go out to eat for dinner, that they we eat out once a week, that they were gonna wait to eat out for dinner until I came home. I was like, okay, cool. Well, after my trip, it was a long commute. I had to drive from the airport to my house, and it was about 4 hours with traffic. Well, when I got home, you know, I was like, okay, I'm tired, but you know, I'm going to breathe. I got this. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to be there with them. Well, when I went home, my daughter was screaming that she didn't want to go anywhere. And it was really scary. She kept telling me, I don't want to go. It sounded like a panic attack or even anxiety. And it was scary. And my husband's like, I don't know what's going on with her. She she wasn't like this. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I took a deep breath and I was like, you know, maybe it's just so many emotions. I just came back and she probably wants my full attention, but she feels rushed. And, you know, we're going to a restaurant. Well, I kept telling her, you know, come on, mama, let's go. It's, you know, we're going to go eat out. Like we said, and she kept saying, I don't want to go out, screaming and yelling. And, this is a point of example where I lost my cool, you know, I lost my composure. And after the fifth time, like trying to help download calm for myself and her, it went out the window. I was like, you're going to go to this car and you're going to put on your shoes. I don't care how you're feeling. And I remember after that, she was like gasping for air. And I felt my heart. And I remember we're in the car and I'm looking at her. And I kept breathing. And I was like, you know, how do I expect her to be regulated if I can't even regulate myself or help navigate her with how the state of mind that she's feeling, you know? So I remember like looking at my husband and I held his hand and I was like, breathe with me. And he looked at me and I was like, just breathe with me. So, you know, we kept breathing. And then finally, when I was calm, I looked at her and I kept looking at her and just breathing. And I started, someone sent me a picture. I remember it was like a funny goat. And I looked at my husband. I was like, look at this goat. Like we try to pivot from what was focusing on the negative behavior and just like focusing around the things around us. And, you know, look at this goat. It's silly. And I noticed like she was in a survival state of mind. She looked up and I noticed she looked at me, and right there, I, you know, took a deep breath, and then I started talking to my husband. She's looking at more, and then I thought of something that she was of interest, you know, about Halloween costumes, and she was like, I said, hey, Melina, were you planning to be for Halloween? And she's like, oh, I wanted to be this or that, and as she's talking, I'm breathing in, and as she's talking, she's taking deep breaths, breathing. And just to watch her, because I was able to download my calm and to watch her and help navigate her to help download calm. I felt like it was an amazing experience and for my husband to see, because we're at the point where we were looking at each other and his eyes were watery and my eyes were watery because, you know, preteen years, they're hard. And it's like, what do? You know, you've tried all this. And at this point, I'm in this social emotional state of mind and emotional state of mind. And my husband too, you know, we're just looking at each other like, what do we do? And it's hard as parents for teens, I can imagine, my child is just a preteen, to navigate that, but to watch her, for me to help navigate her to download calm and watch it happen, and to bring my daughter back into executive state, and to see my husband's face and then crying, tears coming down his face, like, you know, my baby girl's back. I think from there, that's when it pushed us more that, you know, okay, we need to start pushing this even more, you know, like conscious discipline. There's not going to be perfect moments, but in those times when we're in emotional state of mind or survival state of mind, this gives us opportunities to learn and grow and navigate that. Like those are the most important times when we need to navigate those different powers when it's uncomfortable. You know, and just doing that, I feel like it was important to see that and really be like, oh my gosh, this is working.
So. Yeah, I know. I feel that too. And like, it almost like what you're saying in terms of like the framework is almost like a rope or almost kind of like a lifeline. Or, you know, something to just rely on in those times where it's just like, yeah, you're in that emotional state or in that survival state and your head is kind of scrambled because all the emotions are running and you're just kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do. You're I feel like the best way that I can kind of like describe it is like when your emotions are running and your head is scrambled. That's when it's hard to kind of like stay composed and like do the things, but like even in that, when you're in that emotional state, if you can still kind of like remember the things that you learned in that like practice and like your values of like conscious discipline and your powers and like the oops or the everyone makes mistakes or the, you know, Q-tip, quit taking it personally. Like if you can kind of just like in those moments, just like reach out to that, to a skill. Right. And sometimes it just takes one. And it sounds like the one that you reached out to, that you grabbed onto was the composure, really, and really just the breathing. Right. And then I heard with you the breathing, and that's always the first one, right? Your own kind of self-composure, because you can't do anything when your energy is chaotic. And you know, you're in a survival state. You don't, right? So that component, and then it seemed you reached out to assertiveness of just kind of like just with the really the power of intention and like the assertiveness of just like where you were focusing your attention, where you're putting the attention on. And it's kind of just woven into there. And the other thing that I heard there is that all throughout this, as you are noticing changes happening, one of the things that I always hear, people comment, they'll be like, oh, like sometimes I'll do this, I'll breathe or do something. And then like, you know, my child say like, stop breathing, or like they'll, you know, a change can sometimes happen in children and we be completely oblivious to it. And because we're oblivious to the change that's happening within them, and we can't read these subtle and notice these subtle cues, we have a hard time of knowing what to do next. Or sometimes things that are actually green flags, we look at like red flags and it scares us and we lose our composure. But I hear in that of just like of what was happening is that you could see the change of from survival state to emotional state to executive state. And kind of as you're seeing like that kind of her nervous system, the kind of her inner through her noticing her outer behavior, but as you see kind of her inner world start to change, you're able to kind of respond to that and kind of continue to kind of like move her up, so to speak, in the brain states. And I can really relate to that experience. I'm really just describing my experience through you, through what I heard from you. Is that, did I describe your experience? Is that similar, or something you would add, something you think I was kind of off in?
No, I think you described it spot on with that, you know, just noticing and seeing, hey, she's in this state of mind. What do I need to do to get her to the next state of mind, you know? In the end, to be executive state of mind. And even with this, I do the same with my staff, as, you know, noticing, seeing body language and stuff, how identifying state of minds and what I need to do for them to be seen, feel safe, heard, and all that. So,
and I want to, and that's okay. So two things I want to say here. One, that's like the power of learning the framework, right? It's like once you start to learn the framework, like, that's the power of you being able to have it. Almost feels like a superpower, almost navigating the situations, right? Yeah. So, and the other thing that I wanted to say here is that when you are going on this journey and you're making the mistakes and you're doing the oops, and you have kind of people to kind of like who are on that journey with you, it can be stressful sometimes. There's actually things I don't want to say, but just to kind of to be able to relate to other people and like to be able to share stories and be able to like talk about like I was in this state and like, and to kind of be able to communicate in that way is very almost therapeutic. And the third thing that I wanted to say was that, you know, we're talking about kind of moving up the brain states and recognizing we're in emotional state or survival state or executive state. But something I want to like point out there, and I think there's a common misconception, and I think I was kind of hesitant when I was learning conscious discipline, because I was a little hesitant because I perceived it that like, okay, the goal is always to like always to be in executive state, but it's not, that's not the goal. And I think kind of the powers you learn more about the kind of the different skills, the different powers, and how, where they kind of fit with the different states, is that knowing that it is okay to be in a survival state, that it's normal, it's okay to be in a survival state, it's okay to be in an emotional state, kind of the elevator of up and down is the natural flow of things. You're never going to always be in an executive state when things don't go our way. Even us adults, when things don't go our way, we immediately go down to an emotional or survival state. The difference is we, you're 25, 26, have the capacity to recognize that and to bring yourself up. You have the capacity now due to trauma and being neurodivergent. Like there's different things that kind of affect your ability to do it. And your practice also, which is something that you have complete control over, how much you practice also impacts your ability to be able to recognize when you're in a state and choose to move up to in a state, or maybe you want to hang out in the emotional state. Sometimes I don't want to be in executive state. Sometimes I just want to be in emotional state and I want to hang out there for a moment. And sometimes your kids want to too. And to be able to recognize that and to be able to okay with that and to not look at that as a negative judgment on your parenting or your teaching, and that you're doing it wrong, that you're bad because they happen to be in an emotional state for a period of time. It's the brain. It's the process. It's the practice of it. Last thing I want to say, I know I'm hogging up the time right now, but I expressed this thought on social media recently, and I just think it's really helpful to just think about of just that, like your kids are supposed to throw temper tantrums and get upset, and it's not like a sign that you're doing something wrong. These moments are actually really just like the reason why they're supposed to have so many temper tantrums and get upset so much when they're young, because they're supposed to have lots of opportunities to practice what the process of getting upset is like, and then, you know, feeling that upset and regulating and responding, and like in the way that we are with them, the process of whatever our process of how we respond to them when in their upset is a process they'll learn to deal with their upset when they get older. So the reason why they have all these temper tantrums so often, I know it's a lot all day, right? Because it's just them, their nervous system yearning to learn and practice how to navigate these emotions.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, dun, dun, dun. Conscious discipline, it helps us to understand that all behavior is communication. It's okay to be sad, angry, happy, nervous. And I have an example of that. My son yesterday, we were at Walmart and I said, we have to pick up two things. And we're at the, you know, he's like, I just want to look in the toy section. And I was like, okay, we're going to go. But remember, we were just looking. He wanted the Zelda toy, and I told him, you know, you were hoping to get the Zelda toy, but we came in for these two specific items. And he told me, I'm so angry. I'm going to be angry right now and tomorrow and the next day. I'm going to be angry all the time, you know. And I think it's important to tell these children, you know, it's okay to be angry or these emotions, but those feelings are temporary. And to help navigate them, I think that's such an important part of this process too, as well.
Yes, emotions, they come and they go. And, you know, honestly, there was just this, so this last weekend, I went paintballing with a bunch of friends, and someone was really concerned about how, like, you know, like it was, there was, we were going, and there was like a couple of kids going too. And then kind of like teenager, preteen, you know, people's kids. And some of them were really concerned about like, oh, is it going to hurt? Is it going to hurt? And like, you know, hesitation that a lot of us have is to just be like, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to be a big deal. And like, if it does hurt, to dismiss them and be like, if they say it hurts, like, it didn't hurt that bad. Like, get over it. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But instead, you know, what I, you know, told them was just like it's going to hurt. And then it's going to be like, ouch, that hurt. And then it's going to go away. That's not going to hurt forever. Right. And that's all you really can say, right? You know, and it's not, you know, my job isn't to be in control of whether they enjoy the game of paintballing or if they like when they get hit or they get over it. Maybe they get hit with a paintball and like, ouch, that hurts. I don't want to feel that anymore. I don't want to play anymore. And that's okay. Like, you know, like that's okay. Like, so like, you know, there's all these situations where we have the hesitation. And that's one of like another lesson of conscious discipline of just like, you know, like you don't have to, we don't need to run away from the emotions. And when we learn to embrace the emotions, and we learn how to embrace the emotions, right? Because one thing, because, you know, like, and this is like on the internet, we always, you know, there's like gentle parenting, gentle parenting, gentle parenting. And I always like, I'm an advocate for gentle parenting, right? You know, gentle parenting really isn't, to be honest, isn't really anything specific, right? The way I look at gentle parenting is just like, it's just people who want to do better than the way that they were raised. And they don't, they probably don't spank their kids, right? They avoid spanking their kids, right? And that's the what I just kind of think about gentle parenting. Conscious discipline is different because there is a specific framework and very specific ideas that are, a compilation of a lot of people's, like, you know, research and ideas, but it's a very specific framework. You can't really go to like a gentle parenting book and be like, oh, this is a gentle parenting framework. Mm-hmm. And so like, that is, if you're wondering, that is a little bit of like, you look, oh, what's the difference between like conscious discipline and gentle parenting? That is a little bit of the difference of how I see the difference based off of my time on the internet and what I know about, like, you know, practicing conscious discipline. But the framework is something that I really want to share with the world. And so when you join the book club, I'm going to take a moment to tell you kind of what the book club actually entails. Right now I'm planning to do Tuesdays. The first Tuesday of every month is kind of what I'm looking at. And I'm also looking at 8:00. I kind of edited an Instagram poll. 8 to 9 seems to be the time. If you message me and you say, hey, could you really do a Saturday? Could you really do a Saturday? I will consider it. I get a lot of messages. So use your skill of assertiveness and advocate if that's something you're really wanting and willing to do. Assertiveness is also that skill that helps you reach your goal, move towards your goal. So be assertive. If there's a time for something, like I'm here to listen to you right now. I'm at Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month. And we're going to start in the month of January to do official live community calls, and you will join it. And I don't know, Arlene doesn't know this, but so let me say this part first. It's $50 for you to come to the live event, for you to join the Tuesday. You just go through www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz. You sign up through the book club option and you will get a message through Patreon every month, because we will do this every month for about 6 months. We're going to start off with 6 months. There's probably going to be some more, but right now I'm going to commit to 6 months. First Tuesday, every Tuesday for 6 months, or every first Tuesday of the month for 6 months at 8:00 right now. You'll get a message through your Patreon, and that is how you will sign into the Zoom call. Since you've gotten to know Arlene and she's kind of already a part of our community already, I can't say she's going to come on, but she will be invited to all of them. So maybe she'll come on, maybe she won't. I'm not going to make any commitments for her, and I'm not going to ask her to make any commitments right now. I'm actually going to ask her not to make any commitments because I don't want to put her on the spot, but I am going to let her know that you have a free spot where you can come on and join and talk. And if you would like to, you know, ask Arlene kind of more questions or whatever, she can be part of the community. We'll all be learning together. And I'm going to break it down. The first thing that we're going to talk about are the brain states, because conscious discipline is really the foundation of conscious discipline are the brain states, survival state, emotional state, executive state, and really understanding behavior through the brain states. Arlene just shared a story about how she, you know, was able to kind of see the change that was happening in her child as she was doing different things. And to be able to notice those changes and be able to understand that behavior in the context of conscious discipline is foundational for you to be able to use the right skills at the right time. And for you to be able to intentionally just kind of pull out your tools and your tool belt as you're seeing different things happening. And it allows you to be responsive as opposed to just using, you know, there are scripts in conscious discipline, yes, but it's not just that you just use those scripts as a robot. They're just tools that you can pull out and you can mold and weld and to your own different, you can make your own kind of tool out of them. And you can use them in your own ways. And that's what I really love about it is that like, it's not very prescriptive. You learn all the tools and the framework and you can use them in your own kind of art form. That is what we're going to be learning. So that's why we're going to start off with the brain states for the first month. I highly recommend don't jump in this halfway. I highly recommend to go through the whole 6 months. At the very least, come out for the first one. At the very least, I'll just catch the second one or the third one. Again, I'm going to build the foundation. And so you could jump in the second one and third one. And would it be helpful? Yeah. Will you learn some new skills? Yeah. Will you maybe help you break some cycles? Yeah. Will you have community there? Yeah. You know, there's will be lots of benefits. Yeah. But to get the full, the breadth of what conscious discipline is, I really highly recommend coming to the first one. Now, what I might do is I might, you know, record them and put them up, but I really recommend you being there or just, you know, it's hard to catch up. Everyone's busy. And then it also gives you time to practice some of the things that we talk about, practice seeing some of the skills. You know, you jump in week six, I'm just going to watch all the videos. It's not going to give you time to practice and build, right? It's a new year. I'm starting January 1st because it's like you're going to be your New Year's resolution, right? Your new year, your new step in your growth. Take this seriously. I'm going to really take this seriously. This is a huge responsibility, but it is something that is going to yield so much fruit from all of us, and you're going to be able to interact with me. Normally we interact through a screen, maybe send me a message and I make a video, but now you'll be able to ask some of your own questions. Just like, you know, Arlene shared some of her stories. You know, you could kind of share like, well, you know, this happens to sex stories, or even, hey, like having trouble with getting them to put their shoes away when they walk in the door, or bedtime or whatever. And we can talk about it in the context of the brain states, or, you know, the skill of assertiveness or empathy or encouragement, or, you know, and those other kind of tools and phrases that are within them and in the brain science behind it. So it's going to be a very interactive lesson, and it's the first time I've offered something like this. So really hope, especially my people listening to the podcast, you take advantage of it. Because I know you guys are really doing the work. You're really, really on this journey. You're not just scrolling through, watching, you know, through your cat videos. You're really here doing the work. And it's great when we're able to build community with other people like you. So join www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz. to join the book club. Now that the plug is over, Arlene, I want to know from you kind of like, what are some of the things that you feel like conscious discipline, or actually, let me ask you this. where do you feel like you still have your areas of opportunity currently, where you feel like this is an area where I really want to grow? Arlene actually just came from the Advanced Institute, and there's a lot of reflection. That's, you have to almost kind of have to kind of be invited to the Advanced Institute. Not everyone is accepted there. Yeah. What are your reflections? I'm setting the bar high for this one.
Yes. Well, some of them we might need another podcast for.
Okay.
But for mine, as of right now, that I feel that I need a folk that I feel like more support, that I'm working myself. Oh, I'm tongue tied. Cut it. choices and choices so for beautiful. Sure is something that I do struggle with, like giving my children choices or sometimes other people choices, because sometimes it's like, you know, I could do it. It's not going to go my way and stuff. And, you know, again, going back to my toolbox and stuff, having that and just, you know, giving them choices and rolling with it. That's okay. And it's important that, you know, when it comes to choices, you need to motivate others and have them have the options to do stuff too. And if you're not doing that, sorry, my dog is like jumping and I'm trying to have him not. It's important, again, with choices, going back to choices. So the only person you can make change is yourself. And the moment is as it is, quit taking it personal and, you know, just see how it is. And as you navigate that, whether it is with an adult or a child, just be understanding, and it is what it is in the end of the day, you know. So I do struggle with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like the big thing for me is choices.
Yeah. You know, and so I think I'm thinking, I go through different kind of like almost seasons where I'm really focusing on different skills. I think last year I was really focused on really just navigating consequences, where like something I really wanted to get good at, like implementing in a healthy way, and just kind of learning different ways to, and really noticing and focusing on different ways on how consequences are interacting with the children that are in my care. Empathy was the one that I wanted to focus on afterwards. Actually, it was assertiveness was the one after that. And then it was empathy. Cause after I was like assertive, I was like, man, I feel like a little too bossy. I feel like I need to balance myself out a little bit, I need a little bit more like empathy. And you're using all these skills interchangeably, but it's like, there's like different moments where I like focus on different skills to just really try to superpower myself, you know, in that area a little bit, where it may be a weakness. I wanted to become my strength. And right now, I think in this season of my life, I'm really focusing on composure. And really just figuring out different ways to bring, noticing when the moment when I am getting an emotional state, things don't go my way, and bringing myself back in all situations too, because it's like, you know, in some situations where, you know, like, oh, I might be really good at doing it in the classroom, but maybe have a harder time doing it, you know, on the road or someone who's really close to me or a friend, or, you know, so like how in kind of all these different situations, you know, can I still notice and then call myself out on it? Because we're all going to make our mistakes, and that's like the oops, right? And we haven't said it here, but oops stands for our opportunity to problem solve. And I always kind of want to make it, I think I'm going to make this like a prerequisite, like before you even join the book club, you got to listen to this in December, and then come in January. And what I want to tell people, the way that I will know if people listen to the whole one, is do they know what OOP stands for? One, our opportunity to problem solve. And two, do you know what you do when someone makes an OOPs? And what we're going, our conscious discipline thing is, you know, to say, you can type it on Zoom, or you can just say like, OOPs, you're beautiful. Right. Maybe we'll come up with a little emoji that we can use that stands. Maybe it's a heart. When someone makes an oops, you just put a heart. Oops, say oops, you're beautiful, or type oops, you're beautiful. So that's going to be part of the culture that we're creating in our book club. I'm excited for you guys to oops me when I make an oops, to just and tell me that it is okay to oops, and just really normalize our mistakes so that we make the mistakes. It doesn't send us so far into like emotional state, right? And so that is really kind of the last thing I want to say. And I hope, you know, and at this, I'm going to let Arlene have the last word. So I'm going to let her kind of prepare for that. But I really hope I see a lot of y'all out there. This is a really exciting thing for me. I'm excited to really meet and see face to face. Our relationship through Instagram, TikTok, and messages is great. But I gotta be honest, when I see people in a conference and they're like sharing their experience with me, or even through Zoom when I do like coaching sessions, and you know, we're talking and we're having conversations, there's a whole nother level of connection there, right? Right. And you know, one of the components of connection is eye contact, so it makes sense. So I really want to be able to see you and make eye contact, or at least hear your voice. So I'm really hoping to see you. www.patreon.com/MrChaz. See you there at the book club. We're going to all practice conscious discipline framework in the year 2024. And also, so you know, if you don't have the book, the code is Chaz23. And if you're listening to this in 2024, the code will be Chaz24, CHAZZ24, to get free shipping on anything on the conscious discipline website. But I highly recommend getting the conscious discipline book so you can read along in the book club. I guess you could join the book club without getting the book. You'll still learn a lot, but it'd be great if you have more than one medium of learning. So all with all that said, Arlene, any last words you want to say to those people out there who are on their journey, who are thinking about going on the conscious discipline journey, who are maybe on it and then begin their journey, and you just want to just lend a helping word, a helping hand, whatever advice, a shoulder to lean on, cry on, something for the people who are the parents, teachers, people, humans who are starting their journey, on their journey, thinking about going on their journey.
I believe this. I think this book club that Chaz is creating, I think it's a amazing opportunity, and I've never heard anything like it virtually. And I think it gives you a big step foot towards conscious discipline, whether you have been already on this journey or you're just now beginning it, to hear different people's perspectives. And as you're navigating through the different skills, the powers, and, you know, understanding the brains and learning about them in a way where you're able to understand it. Because I know sometimes when you're reading the books, it can be kind of confusing, and just be able to have a bunch of people come together and talk about it, I think it's an amazing experience. And this book club is going to be amazing because you're going to be able to understand emotions. You're going to be able to grasp the importance of recognizing and managing your own emotions, and children and even adults, which is silly. A lot of people sometimes think like, man, I've even had my bosses a couple times, you know, I wish there was conscious discipline for adults. And I'm like, hey, newsflash, it is for adults. So if you don't know that secret, that one's out. And secondly, you know, in the book club, it's going to help you create connections and relationship building and have effective communication and develop problem solving skills, not just for yourself, but for your children. This is a life changing. This is life changing conscious discipline. It has changed my life in so many ways, from as a parent and as an educator and a leader. And I do feel conscious discipline, it's going to take over the world. And we need to keep sharing our gifts with us and empowering others about the differences that it's making in ourselves, that it's not just for the children, it is for everyone. And I think it's great what you're doing. And for any of you guys who are unsure, I highly encourage to, get in this book club. And if you were kind of on edge about that, another opportunity. And I always tell people, you can start with easy to love, difficult to discipline. There's a book, and that's, I feel like that's kind of like,
Yes.
what's that? Not a cliffhanger, but the beginning of a movie. Little a trailer
A
of kind of
trailer.
a glimpse of conscious discipline. It does dive a little bit, but I feel like if you're kind of on edge, that's another opportunity to see like, hey, okay, this sounds like something I'm interested in. I'm willing to learn and be open-minded. But conscious discipline is changing lives. And wake up, people, come be part of this. And I look forward to seeing people there. And you know what? I'm gonna throw this off a whim. I am willing to donate a conscious discipline book to anyone who will be part of your book club. But there are stipulations. I am the queen of oops, and I would love to hear what your oops is to get one.
Wow. Okay. All right, out here in the end, coming out with a challenge. So that means you have to listen to this whole podcast
Yes.
to do it. So, and maybe not everyone makes it to the end. So you might be in the minority of people who are going to participate in this challenge that has just been made up just now, right now, right before your very ears. And the challenge is for you to send me a message on Instagram, sharing an oops that you've made, right? And you have to say it's from you listen to the podcast with Arlene and you want the free conscious discipline book. If you want the donated conscious discipline book from Arlene, say that, we'll know what you're talking about. Share your oops. I'm going to share the oops out on Instagram. I can make you anonymous, it's okay. So it will be an anonymous oops. And that is something that we will do. And then, yeah, you'll give us your information and we will send you a book.
I want to share the gift to others,
That was so wow. You donated a book to the community so that someone who is, wants to learn can learn. That is incredibly thoughtful and especially off the spot like that. You must have so much love and passion in your heart to just give without thinking like that. So thank you so much. Especially, I mean, she's working in education too. So like it means that even more because like as educators, we're not making six figures doing what we're doing. We're doing it for the love. And she's still willing to donate a book to someone out there. And look, you listening to the whole episode can pay off. Sounds like that. So thank you so much, Arlene.
You're welcome.
I'm just gonna go to clap it up. Yay. Can't wait to see you there. And we're gonna end it like that. Avoid being a perfectionist, be an improvementist. See you at the book club.
What's my name? What's my name? What's